Welcome to Regionally Speaking. I'm Tom Maloney. Joining me in studio is at J.J. Weinberg. Now, for you radio listeners out there, TV viewers, you can see it for yourself, but I'm sitting across from a man dressed as PBS's own Bob Ross, equipped with blue jeans, a denim shirt, a big silver dog tag, a denim shirt, denim pants, the full-on Afro wig that Bob Ross and the paintbrushes in the hair. It feels like I'm sitting across from the man, the myth, the legend himself, Bob Ross. J.J. Weinberg, welcome to Regionally Speaking.
Thanks so much for having me. It's an honor, actually. I call this my Ross play.
Okay.
You know, so cosplay is a thing, but, you know, Ross
play
is...
It's a play on cosplay.
Yeah,
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Why Bob Ross? Why am I sitting across the table right now looking at Bob Ross?
I call Bob the patron saint of paint, you know? I think he's important. He's important to our culture. And for me specifically as an artist, from the time I was a kid, mm-hmm. Bob informed me. I was 10 years old trying to paint along with Bob Ross. I went to the American Academy of Art in Chicago. I told my mom when I was 10 years old that's where I was going to go. And I was frustrated because I couldn't paint mountains the way Bob could, you know? But I never gave up on that. And it's just been my dream and my vision and, where we're at now with culture and the zeitgeist, Bob's really, really important, more now than maybe even, you know, in his lifetime.
Yeah. I was going to say you and I are probably from the same era of PBS, mm-hmm. not quite PBS Kids at that time. It's just regular programming.
Right.
I remember growing up watching Bob Ross, no mistakes, just happy accidents.
Exactly.
You know, I grew up watching Bob Ross. I grew up watching Imagination Station. I never dreamed that I'd be sitting here across the table from him.
I got to tell you, Imagination Station, that's it for me.
Yeah.
Like Mark Kistler between Bob. And, you know, that's what we're going to get into. One mm-hmm. of the main reasons I'm here. No PBS, no Bob.
Right.
Right? And no PBS, no Bob. If you look at Mark Kistler from Imagination Station, mm-hmm. like even more so than Bob, because I wasn't able to, this painting I did back here, that was as an adult, right?
Right.
But Mark Kistler showed me first how to draw those little spaceships.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so, you know, no PBS, no Bob Ross. No Mark Kistler, and maybe no J.J. Weinberg as an artist. So it's so important.
So let's talk about you as little J.J. watching Bob Ross on probably a color TV, one of the old, as we called them, boob tubes back in the
sure,
day.
Because yeah.
they just had, they're full of tubes. Nothing's really high depth. So you're not seeing Bob in 4K. You're seeing Bob in like grainy pixelated images, painting these really, really vivid images. What does that do to your brain as a kid? Why was it art? Why was it painting? What about Bob drew you into wanting to do this?
Well, like I said, the patron saint of paint, Bob, like it wasn't just his painting. It was his agency on democratizing imagination. He said, like, there's an artist at the bottom of every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so much of art is very exclusive and, you know, especially at high art, they say, well, you can't do this or that. You have
right.
to kind of get through a gatekeeper.
Yeah,
or whatever.
I was gonna say there's gatekeepers, there's steps involved.
Exactly.
Learn the rules first.
Right. But
yeah.
So with Bob, it was like, no, you can just paint. And that's why this, my Make America Paint Again, culturally, it's like, we need that. We need that kind of permission mm-hmm. to just follow that still small voice inside. And so for me, it's more than just his painting. It was, you know, Bob said you can move a mountain on a painting.
Yeah.
And that's where it takes me even to the metaphysical. The very first, so my project is called Happy Little Hairdos, and I will talk about it.
Yeah.
The very first vision I had after I did this drawing, I did this in 2014, so I've been working on this for over a decade. And, you know, his fro's filling out, going past the entire frame. And I said, well, we all know Bob from his fro,
mm-hmm.
but what if he was bald? And what would he look like over here? This is obviously Bob as Fred Rogers, who's
right.
vitally important. I'd love to talk about Fred. But, you know, with his fro, I said, we give him some freedom from his fro. And then, I'm sorry, I'm losing my train of thought here. Come back to just the notion that Bob gave us permission to be what we want to be. And that's what I was going with. Sorry. The very first drawing that I did for this series was Bob with long hair and a crown of thorns. Literally envisioned Bob as Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus said the same thing, you know, say to that mountain, move, and it will move. And Bob was saying that just on a canvas. So again, I guess the larger thing that I'm trying to say here is that we are all creative people. Life is a creative process. You know, we make decisions, and those decisions are our brushstrokes, and our days are our canvas. And when you have someone like Bob in the background saying you can have a happy accident, you know, it allows us, you know, some freedom.
So you go through school, you go through elementary, middle school, junior high, high school. You eventually make your way to the ACA. Mm-hmm. The ACA is closing.
Yeah.
Now because of cuts as well. So really the world around you, in terms of what you referred to as the zeitgeist just a few minutes ago, really kind of cataclysmically coming to an end in that sense. And so when you say no PBS, no Bob Ross, let's talk about PBS and its role in helping young children and even grownups, because, you know, you could watch Bob Ross episodes now and still learn how to paint. You can watch Imagination Station and still learn how to draw. You can still learn how to read, you know, if you're watching LeVar Burton, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, there are opportunities when it comes to PBS for lifelong learning.
Right.
Let's talk about you now as Bob and sort of your lifelong learning to kind of carry on his memory, as opposed to just being, I guess, maybe a meme or just a distant memory in the back of somebody's head saying, oh yeah, I used to watch that show when I was 10 years old.
Right. I think it's like, so it's the joy of painting, right? And again, that's when we look at culture now, it creates this dissonance, because you just said Bob like as a meme.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something so much more serious that we can get into with Bob's body of work and what it means for us. And so, you know, for me, I just this work and this project and this journey that I've been on with identity and what's it mean, what's Bob's afro mean, what's the hairstyle mean, and what does PBS mean? Seeing this line being drawn in the sand by the current administration, there's no way to kind of, it's weird because I'm sitting here and I know I'm on PBS and I know I'm in Bob's spirit. And so I want to tiptoe because I want to be gentle and I want to be calm and I want to be that version of Bob.
Right.
But I didn't draw this line in the sand. You know what I mean? This defunding, I mean, Trump's looking at taking out $9.4 billion.
Right.
Right. And already the Indiana state has defunded to 3.7 million.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This makes this almost impossible. And so it's important.
It's a mountain that has to be climbed.
Or moved.
Or moved. How do we lower the mountain in the picture or raise the foreground to make it smaller in that regard? So before we jump back into the rest of the conversation, the thought, the process of you are one person.
Right.
Donald Trump and his administration is a whole staff, is a whole U.S. federal government.
Right.
Mike Braun, the House, the Senate, the chambers, state senators, state representatives in Indiana, also another large government entity.
Mm-hmm.
So this thought of you are one man with a paintbrush.
Right.
How do you move that mountain? How does somebody watching this conversation today or listening to this conversation today decide to pick up their own proverbial paintbrush?
Well, there's a couple of things that I'll say about it. Number one is Fred Rogers, right?
Mm-hmm.
We go back to 1969. And Fred was lobbying Congress.
Yes.
As one man. So Mr. Rogers goes to Washington.
Right.
Without Fred Rogers doing that, and let's put it in perspective, it was $20 million.
Right.
Right? Nixon was trying to reduce it to $10 million, which would have made this moment impossible if that would have happened.
Bob Ross never sees a camera.
Bob Ross never sees a camera. And what does that mean? So that's where it's like, I see this... like I'm Marty McFly, right? And I'm starting to disappear and vanish because Biff is skewing the timeline.
Right.
Right? So Fred Rogers goes and lobbies Congress. So that's the first part of that's what one person can do and what I hope that my one voice starts to inspire.
So I'm going to go lobby Congress. Got it. I'm going to write that down.
Well, you can. Right. That's what we're doing right here. So there
we're lobbying
two
Congress. Lime, okay.
We write that. Well, that actually brings me to my next point. So on July 4th, which is the 30th year anniversary of Bob's passing, I'm going to be doing a little theatrical as Bob in my Ross play.
Yeah, yeah.
Demonstration in front of Trump Tower here in Chicago.
So quite literally the Biff Tanner Plaza.
The Biff Tanner Plaza, you know, exactly, yeah. 100%. And you know what's funny is the Bobs, as that's kind of ironic, Robert Zemeckis.
Yeah, yeah.
They actually, if you look at the behind the scenes stuff for Back to the Future, they say that Trump was literally modeled.
Or Biff was
modeled. Biff was modeled after
yes,
Trump.
He
and
was.
This is way before the political run.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So
this was just 1980s New York style
exactly,
Donald Trump as
exactly,
we knew him.
Yes. So, so that's part one. I'm going to do that. But really, this conversation and that moment, what I'm trying to do is inspire more than just one person. October 29th, which is Bob's birthday, I'm going to lead the Million Bob March and Day of Bob Observance.
The Day of Bob Observance, the Million Bob March. So you're going to get a million people ordering wigs off of Amazon Walmart and Timu and wherever else get them. Okay.
And I should probably get so I want a million Bobs to show up to the National Mall.
Wow.
And it doesn't have to be Bob. You can come dressed as Fred Rogers, or you could be, Big Bird.
Big Bird, yeah.
Yeah, Big Bird, Oscar the Grouch, whatever, whoever you want to be.
Okay, well, we do have access to the PBS costume wardrobe through Lakeshore PBS, so maybe we use that as an in. What do you want to do with a Million Bob Ross, Million Bob March in November?
Well, so we talked about moving the mountain, and I think people coming together, that's how the mountain gets moved.
Right.
And let me look at LA just last night.
Yeah.
The riots.
Yeah.
You know, I think Bob is so disarming, his charm. Mm-hmm. So when I'm in front of Trump Plaza, I mean, I was arrested in 2008 for doing this same kind of thing. I was on top of a gas station singing this protest song that I wrote.
Yeah.
And talking about, you know.
Were you dressed as Bob?
I wasn't then.
So Bob still has a clean record.
Yeah,
good.
Regular me. Yeah, Bob, yeah, right. Bob has not been on the inside yet. Yeah. The act of protest, the freedom of speech, I mean, that's where the rubber hits the road. PBS is speech, you know, yep. I mean, that's what we're at. And so I think there's a certain amount of charm in being Bob, but then there's the reality of why we're doing this. And so getting a million Big Birds and Bobs and, I think it just sends a message and it gives us an opportunity to, you know, just use our voice. And again, it's if you look at what's happening in LA or we look at other protests, where it bubbles up to a riot, Dr. King said the riot is the language of the unheard.
Right.
So it's like, don't let us speak, and this is what happens. But the idea of having the charm of Bob and some of the just the fun. So it's like we can actually make it a happy little protest.
Right.
We can put fun into the speech that says, but we got to stand up for something. So
you say regular me, you are J. Jane Weinberg. Who is regular you? How do people find you? How do people discover the art that you have created?
Sure.
What are your socials? All
so,
that stuff.
Yeah, at J.J. Weinberg is my Instagram. JJWeinberg.com is my website. My main website, I also have happylittlehairdos.com. So, you know, the original vision for this project was to do a coffee table book where we see all these different versions of Bob.
Yeah.
And it kind of went on the back burner, 2015, I drew the Make America Paint Again hat. I could see that there's, culture and all that stuff shifting.
Right.
And that energy. And then in 2021, I got into, I don't know if you're familiar with NFTs, but I got
non-fungible
tokens. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
I call it a digital collectible. It's a little bit easier for people to wrap their head around.
Okay.
And so I literally have 10,000 Bobs. My friend Chuck helped me create an algorithm that we took a bunch of assets, different hairstyles, different glasses, different things. And there are 10,000 Bobs. And so I'm actually want to use that project to help start working on not just putting my voice here, but putting my money behind it too. So the project stalled in 2021. NFTs have kind of stalled, and they go through these moments. But the technology is sound, and the project is something I've put my whole life into and all of my creativity. And, you know, what I want to do is pledge money from sales to actually creating things for PBS and opportunities to give back.
So that other, the fourth thing that an individual can do is donate, right?
Yeah,
they can go to, whether it's Lakeshore as their local PBS station, or it's maybe it's Muncie down in down at Ball State. You brought a straight out of Muncie hat. I love it. If I wore that while repping Ball State, I don't think people would look down on me as much for going to Ball State.
Right.
Oh, the Letterman School. No, the Bob Ross School.
The Bob
Thank
Ross
you very
School.
Much. But the art, can you talk about not only the creation process, but what has the response been from people when they see you in a full Bob Ross
Ross play?
You know, does it invoke a certain memory, or is it like, oh my gosh, I love this. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, how has that process been like for people who are, you know, maybe they're walking down the street, maybe in a couple of weeks, they're walking down the street and they see Bob Ross outside of Trump Tower
right.
in Chicago. Like what is that response?
It's going to be awesome. For sure. I know it will be, and I'll come right back to it. But when you're talking about Muncie, the other painting behind my shoulder, I did that with Steve Ross, actually, Bob's son, and I did it right down there.
Because he took over for Bob for a little bit as well.
Yeah.
Doing the show.
And there's actually a very tragic, if you're not familiar with it, Netflix has a documentary about what happened to Bob and his legacy with his ex-business partners. Mm-hmm. And that's a large part of what my project talks about and does too. It's called Happy Accidents, Betrayal, and Greed. And anyway, painting with Steve down in that area, you know, it's like a surreal experience. And I've also since talked a lot to Sally Shank. So she was the director of every episode of The Joy of Painting. And when I showed her this stuff and talked to her about everything, she said, you know, Bob would have loved this. He would have loved you. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I have an idea about another project that I want to do. Something with my hair. Underneath this, there's a really long hair. And it's a pretty crazy idea about something I want to do for a project that I'll tell you about. But so dressed up as Bob, the response, it's always awesome. I went to C2E2 recently. It's the Comic-Con Entertainment
Chicago.
Expo in Chicago. And I come dressed as Bob, and I'm like, I'm a novelty inside of a novelty place. I'm a niche inside of a niche, right?
There's a lot of Star Wars. There's a lot of
Spider-Man,
you know, comic hero movies, TV shows. Probably not a lot of PBS characters
exactly.
at C2E2, let alone somebody as visibly, I guess, reminiscent of a childhood, maybe outside of Fred Rogers, as Bob Ross.
Sure.
So
when I come in, it was like, as soon as I stepped out of the bathroom and put the wig on, it was like, oh my God, can I get a picture with you?
Yeah.
You know, can I get a picture with Bob? So yeah, the response is always awesome. And it was crazy because, you know, going into that and seeing all these different characters, that's literally the other aspect of my Ross play is I have Bob as all these superheroes, Marty McFly and Doc Brown and, you know, Spider-Man and Doctor Strange. It's the Bobberverse, you know.
Yeah,
so I have him already being seen through the lens of all these different comic book characters and different things.
Right.
And really that's where it comes. That's kind of the big crescendo potentially of part of this project is it's really about me. You know, this is me being seen through the lens of my work. And so people think like might say I have some sort of unhealthy obsession with Bob, but it's like,
I would
Bob,
call it healthy for the record.
Fair
I would call
enough,
it, I would
fair,
call it healthy.
Fair. But you know, Bob is like the canvas kind of for all of these different ideas. Right. And, the best way for this to really happen now, I'm working on a project with a friend. She's a felting artist. And so she's kind of like, she could be Roberta.
Cause
she really kind of paints with fabric and makes these scenes that look like Bob's paintings.
Yeah.
And so what we're going to do is, and the bald Bob, you know, originally created that one for this project to be a canvas. But then I learned later through the documentary.
Yep.
That Bob passed of lymphoma when he was only 52 years old.
Yep.
And so if the really high detail on these images, if you were to look closely on the right side of his face, there's a single tear that's dropping down. And he's got the F cancer tattoo on his neck. And so the idea of Bob being kind of a prisoner to his fro his whole life after he his brand took off, he actually kind of would then, of course, miss it in his final days because he had to wear a wig the same as I'm wearing, right? To put that on. And so, you know, I've gone to Lurie's Children's Hospital dressed as Bob. Mm-hmm. The kids love it. Have them paint, you know, a hairstyle on Bob.
Yeah.
Again, in that, ignite that imagination. But so for the project, what we're going to do is my hair has been growing for about 18 months now.
Right.
I'm cutting off all of my hair. Not bald, but I'm cutting my hair off.
Okay.
And Laura's going to felt the fro back onto Bob.
Really?
So the fro that you'll see on this piece and this piece of artwork is going to be Bob's getting his fro back, but it's my hair. So it's like kind of this fourth wall, fifth wall breaking of, you know.
It's a niche within a niche within a niche.
It's like it keeps going. Yeah.
It does. The rabbit hole definitely keeps digging down. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite quotes in any superhero movie is quite literally Doctor Strange leaning up against the rock, and he looks at Iron Man. And he says, "We are in the end game now, right? This is it."
Yes.
And so when you look at funding cuts to whether it's the ACA, funding cuts to libraries, funding cuts, of course, to PBS and NPR through the form of cutting funding to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, we can all remember, right? The image or the audio at the end of an episode of Bob Ross or the audio at the end of an episode of Mr. Rogers. This show is brought to you by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and viewers like you, right? And so if there's no show, if this is the end game, what does the lack of PBS, the lack of NPR, the lack of educational programming mean for future Bob Rosses or not future Bob Rosses?
Yeah, I mean, it is, like you said, it's the end game. It's Thanos snapping his fingers and it all goes away, right? I mean, it's funny because that's one of the taglines I'm wanting to use that for the Million Bob March, protested for by viewers like us.
I love that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's the way that we can stand up and do it. And yeah, I mean, I like I said, I want to bring anything that I can funding wise. I have some pretty big ambitions, you know, but it's like Bob would say, in the episode, he's going to paint. It's at the end game. Looks like the painting's done.
Right.
And, Sally, I know as a director, it would make her nervous because Bob does something where it's like, no, this is done. And then all of a sudden he creates this one big bold brush stroke that goes right down the side of the painting because he's putting a new tree in the foreground, a new happy little tree. Right. And he says, "This is your bravery test," and that's what I feel like. For me, when I heard this thing land on me, to like, I got to go protest in front of Trump Tower. Mm-hmm. I got to do everything I can to try and organize a Million Bob March.
Yeah,
and Day of Observance. The other thing too is, if you can't show up on October 29th, just go to work dressed up as Bob. You know, go to school dressed
up.
They
won't even notice
Fred
it here.
Rogers.
Like,
well,
oh,
that's
just,
true.
That's
not your work. You know, the steel mill and the you know the grocery store. But anyway, so yeah, like the idea of getting everybody to show up and rally around this—it's a bravery test. Like I said, Bob said, "This is your bravery test," and some of it's so audacious. Some of the ideas that I have, you're going to see some. Multiverse portals opening in Chicago soon. I'm not going to say exactly what,
okay.
But you'll see them. They'll be known.
Got it. And are we going to possibly, is the headline going to say Bob Ross taken away in handcuffs in front of Trump Tower?
That might happen too.
Okay.
I can't make any promise. I don't know for sure. You know?
Right.
But you know, Bob, again, another one of his sayings, and that's why he's still so important and so revered. He says, you got to go out on a limb. That's where the fruit is, right?
You got to take the bravery test.
Yeah, the bravery test, go out on a limb, and move a mountain. So,
all right, JJ, one more time. How can folks find you on socials, on the great World Wide Web?
At JJ Weinberg, jjweinberg.com, and happylittlehairdos.com.
This is Regionally Speaking. I'm Tom Maloney. He's at JJ Weinberg, dressed as the iconic PBS. Can we call him a hero?
You have to call him a hero.
Gotta call him a hero. Bob Ross. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.